One of the greatest needs for people from the beginning of time till the present day is the need for comfort. We all need to have a sense of safety and security and almost a motherly protection from the things that cause us anxiety, discomfort, and fear. People will pay a lot of money for the idea of getting comfort from counselors, doctors, lawyers. But most of the time, the things that we worry about are those things that we have the least amount of control over. But at other times, we're concerned with everyday common afflictions, just regular old things of life. Am I loved? Do people really like me? Am I treated right by other folks? But we don't so often think, am I treating other people right? You know, I can understand the concern, though. For most of my earlier life, I had similar concerns that caused me not to realize how close to true comfort I had been. I'd grown up knowing all the right things to say when I was asked, but it had never been a part of the fabric of my existence, the true driving force in my life. Now, what that was the driving force of God in Jesus Christ. And there comes a time when you realize that everything that you go through in life is for a purpose. And sometimes we don't know what the purpose is while we're going through it, but at other times we have the blinds taken off and we suddenly become aware of how that difficulty that we went through actually was for the purposes of God showing us how much we really need Him. So, as we begin to prepare for a new year, now is the best time to focus your mind on doing what the scriptures say, forgetting those things which are behind, press forward towards the high calling of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Our text for today is Isaiah 40, 1 through 8, beginning with 1 through 4. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. We try to make sense of what Isaiah is saying here, but to really understand what he's talking about, sometimes we need to understand the setting in which he's speaking. Isaiah had been speaking a prophetic word to Hezekiah, the king of Israel. And things were about to be turned upside down for Hezekiah and his country. So, in chapter 39, it says, then Isaiah says to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers had accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they will take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. Now, I don't know if you got exactly what he said there. Isaiah gave a word that, okay, not only are you going to lose your country, but your sons and everything you own is going to be carried off to Babylon. And they will serve another king as eunuchs. In other words, there would be no more of the line of Hezekiah for posterity's sake. But he's good with that. Because Hezekiah was a good king, but he was a lousy father. So things were not going to work out for either his country or his sons. But he's good with it because the Lord had told him that that was what was going to happen. How many of us, if we were given bad news, would say, I'm good with that? Now, most of us would be like the Wicked Witch in The Wiz, not the Wizard of Oz, in The Wiz. In The Wiz, the Wicked Witch has a saying, don't nobody bring me no bad news. Most of us live our lives never wanting to hear no bad news. We don't want to hear anything negative. We want to think positive all the time. Well, sometimes thinking positive is the worst thing that you can think. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 10 and 12 to 14. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Few things. Paul, contrary to how some of us may think of him, was not a fantastic public speaker. He confesses, you know, I don't come to you with powerful speech or wisdom of men, but my speech and my preaching are from the power of God. And the only thing that people understand is that when I'm speaking the word of God, it is not with the wisdom of the world, but with the wisdom of God. And so the wisdom of this world comes to nothing. Now, we hear pronouncements and things, and we have access to information far beyond anything in human history. If you have a question, you can look it up on Google and find an answer in less than a minute, regardless of the subject. But just because we have information, that does not mean that we have wisdom. Just because we have information doesn't mean that we have truth. Just because we have information does not mean that we are on the right path. But when we walk according to the Spirit, then we know that we are in the right way. Because God's ways are higher than the ways of man. And man cannot access those ways because they are spiritually discerned. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. So all these things that you see in the news and in the pronouncements from political parties, all that does is show forth the fact that the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, and who can know it? But he also says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Pay attention to this. This is important. Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed every day. Yes. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yes, amen.
Understand. Underline this. Being a Christian does not mean that you are exempt from pain, hardship, and suffering. I'm going to say that again. Being a Christian does not mean you are exempt from pain, hardship, and suffering. On the contrary, Christians are called on to count it all joy when we suffer. For our Lord also suffered persecution at the hands of those who both claimed to be his friend and those who were his enemies. So if our Lord suffered hardship and pain and betrayal, how much more shall we in this life go through things which in normal circumstance would be looked upon as punishment? Don't look at things the wrong way, but understand that God is the one who will hold you in his strong right hand. Isaiah 40, verse 5 through 8. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. All of us will come to a point at some time or other when we will meet the Lord face to face, either by our own death or when the Lord returns to remake and renew the new heavens and the new earth. We need to be ready for that eventuality, regardless of the circumstances of the life that we live. We're not called to be concerned about whether or not everyone loves us or cares for us or is going to give us prosperity and love and righteousness in political places. What we need to be concerned about is that we are walking by faith and not by sight. We should not be storing up those things which have no value after this life, but we need to be storing up good works for our neighbors, because in doing good works, we don't store up righteousness for our own sake, but we proclaim the word of the Lord in our lives, for we do it without expectation of recompense. You do it for the sake of God, with no expectation of benefit. Understand, Martin Luther said, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. As you can tell, I like me some Luther. He used to be Catholic. I used to be Catholic. Hey, we got a lot in common. What can I say? But understand that Luther never wanted to leave the church. He wanted to reform the church. God sees more than what you can see. God understands more than what you understand. We need to hear what the Lord says about his coming. Revelation 19, 1 to 9. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgment, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, they said, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on a throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the sound as of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Understand. Blessing and glory and honor and power belong to our God.
Yes, amen.
There will come a time when all will be made right. God said through Paul, Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. We're not to seek revenge or vengeance. We're also called to be under the authority of those who are in office. Behold, I lay in Zion as chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, if you believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of the visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, yet as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. In other words, don't run the stop sign. In other words, don't speed. In other words, adhere to the law of the land. Come to a complete stop at the stop sign. Don't roll through. Because when you break the laws of man, you're also breaking the law of God, because this is the law of God. Every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God has application to everyone always. And remember this, let God be true and every man a liar. Prepare your hearts for the Spirit's renewal. Because in the coming days, God will be making manifest His presence in all the world. No man knows the day nor the hour, not even the Son of Man, but only the Father who is in heaven. It may be a day, it may be 1,000 years, but 1,000 years are like a day, and a day like 1,000 years in the presence of God. But be ready when He comes.